This morning, with meekness and faith in our hearts, we receive your word. All eyes in this service are focused on Jesus. We behold him as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. You have your seat. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 28. We'll be looking at developing spiritually. Matthew's Gospel 28. It will be very difficult for you if you attended the first service last week and the second service this week and the third service next week. You're going to have some struggle because they are not the same subjects. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, what is exousia, authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so, there is teaching going on in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is for teaching. We said that the background of this experience is in Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25, where Jesus met his own disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he said, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ, verse 26, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And verse 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, which means that he spent time to teach them. In verse 44, again, when he met them in the room, he said, these are the words which I said unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ye their understanding, verse 45, Luke's Gospel 24, that they might understand the scriptures. Now, pay attention to something, which means that Jesus spent time teaching from the Old Testament. So, every time you found Jesus teaching, every time you found Jesus saying something, he's teaching from the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament is Genesis to Malachi, because that's where he's teaching from. So I've always said to you that every text of the New Testament books has its background in the Old Testament. And every text of the Old Testament has its foreground. In other words, the Old Testament is predictive in nature. It's predictive in nature. Predictive. We call it eschatology. Predictive. Eschatos. When you hear last days. When we say last days, in our own vocabulary today, means the end. Or maybe evil or antichrist or things like that. But last days simply means if you made a promise, then it came to pass, you say at last. At last. So that's what last days means. Of course, it also involves judgment. It involves what God is doing. It involves salvation. So, if Jesus is teaching, and we said that he began at Moses, he began in the book of Genesis. He began in the book of Genesis, beginning at Moses, Luke's Gospel 24 and 27. So, all the concepts he teaches are concepts of the Old Testament that he teaches. So, every time you are reading Jesus, notice that he is not, his words or the words of the apostles, he's not teaching from the book of Matthew. Okay? It's not because the book of Matthew was not written. He's not teaching from Ephesians. He's not teaching from Colossians. They are not written. So the books they were reading from is Genesis through to Malachi. And one of the key rules of interpreting scripture is to first of all sit where the audience sat. I've said it to you a couple of times. What did his audience hear when he was talking? If they didn't hear what you are believing, that means what you are believing is not what he said. The question is, when he said these things, what did they hear? What were they reading? If you are not reading what they were reading, you are not likely going to understand what they understood. So it's fundamental to first of all sit where they sat to understand what they understood. So we said that that means this. Matthew 28:18-20, or Luke 24, which is more direct though, 25-27, or Luke 24:44-49. They are explanations of Old Testament texts. Explanations. It also means that as a Christian, you don't go to church, for example, without a Bible. I know some of you probably are in this service. You have to be handed over a Bible. That's not good enough. You should be in church with the Bible. And not just that, something to write with, so that you can take notice of the things that are being said. Church is not less rigorous than a school. No. No, it's not. It's the same practice of learning, the same attitude. The only reason why you go to somewhere without a note to take note is because you know what they are going to say. Or you think you could have done better. But if you have a teachable attitude, in church, you come with something to write. I've been in the ministry for a few weeks of my life. And I mean that. But I cannot recall a service I attended that I did not have something to write with. I can't recall it. In fact, sometimes when I'm just having a conversation with someone over scripture, I say, hold on, let me get a note. Those who work with me know that I take notes a lot. Sometimes I get them printed out so that I can reread them again. That in itself is worship. So there's nothing in just nodding your head in service and crossing your legs. No. That's not a good attitude. You should have an attitude of someone who learns. Praise God. Say, I'm submissive to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not proud. I have a meek and a gentle spirit. Nothing gets in my way of learning about God in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. So, that is, he's reading from the Old Testament. And we've crossed all the barriers that the Old Testament is written in a parable form. Also, the book of Genesis, in a parable form. And let me quickly get in this. So we began to look at the seed in Genesis. The seed in Genesis. We said the earth, all right, and then the seed. The seed is in itself, all right, Genesis 1:11, bringing forth fruit after its kind, its own kind. And that word seed is the word zerah. Zerah. We also said the word earth. Earth. Earth is man's activities. Earth is man's activities. The seed is God's work in the earth. Genesis 1:11, we mentioned that. And then we said heaven is like, heaven is not where people go to when they die. I'm not saying people don't go to heaven when they die, but that is not the meaning of heaven. Heaven simply means what God is doing in the earth, or where God is in the earth. Let me ensure you understand this. There has never been a time that God moved outside the earth. Never been a time. There's never been a time. So the word heaven, okay, is God's activity. I won't say that again. I said seed is what God is doing. I take that back. Seed in Genesis 1:11 is a spiritual term used in a parable way. So heaven is what God is doing. So let us track the word seed. Genesis 1:11, bringing forth fruit. I told you to take note of the word after his kind. You don't use is, H-I-S, for an inanimate object. So is kind there shows you that the writer, Moses, is passing across the spiritual information. And I guess we've gone through the fact that the audience of Moses were spirit-filled Christians. Huh? The audience of Moses were pastors. What kind of audience was it? Unbelieving, idol-worshipping people. So he had to use this mode of communication to bring across the truth of God's word. So let's follow the word seed. In Genesis 3:15. And I have put enmity between thee and the woman. Now I've taught you this, and if you lay your hands on our books, the recent ones, we made more clarity for you that oftentimes these words have no pronouns. Alright? Because they are in the permissive sense of the Hebrew language. So God didn't put enmity. He just said, this is going to happen. I put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Notice the word seed. Seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. So the word seed here represents people, persons, activities, and events. Are you there? Are you there? So it says the seed will bruise the head, and the word head is the Hebrew word rosh, R-O-S-H, which deals with authority, it deals with government, it deals with influence. Now, when this was said, notice that Eve misunderstood it in Genesis chapter 4, when Eve had Cain. Verse 1, she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man of the Lord. In other words, she made an assumption that Cain was that fulfillment. Now, you observe this. I'm going to mention this much in the fourth service, but you endeavor to understand that the same error she made was made by Abraham. Isaac, not Ishmael. Abel, not Cain. Jacob, not Esau. That's consistent, okay? So, not knowing that this seed, alright, will not be prefigured, if I'm going to use that word, through Cain, but through Abel. And the first proof of it was that Abel was killed. So, in Genesis chapter 4, she made that error. She thought it was Cain. Now, notice again that afterwards, she now had another child. Genesis chapter 4, 25, bore a son and called his name Seth. Now, she had understood by Cain's actions that Cain couldn't have been the seed, that would be Abel. But now, she now thought it was this child, Seth. Look at what she called Seth. For God had appointed another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, Seth now also had a child called Enos. Then chapter 5, pay attention here, in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called them in the name Adam, in the day where they were created. Now look at verse 3. Let's read verse 3 slowly. Let's go. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his own image and called his name Seth. So when you say in your likeness and your image, can we therefore mean or conclude that he qualifies to be your son? So likeness and image is a son. Verse 3. Then, when they named the son Enos, the word Enos from Enos, that is from Seth, it is the word frail, mortal, to die. So they concluded that this must not be the seed, or this cannot be the seed. Now, go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Verse 2. I'll make of thee a great nation. This is to Abraham. And I'll bless thee and make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. I've explained that to you. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a blessing. Okay. Which means to be welcome, to be accepted, to be in. Now, Genesis 15. The conversation here is whether Eliezer is that heir, that seed of Abraham. In verse 3, Abraham had that same assumption. And the Lord said, no. Verse 4, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of your bowels, that is thine heir. That is thine heir. Then in verse 5, let's take verse 5 together. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, finish or come on, so shall thy seed be. Have you seen the word seed come back to us again? So God's, can we say, God's promise to Abraham was to do what he said to Eve. Is that right? Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? God's promise to Abraham was to do what he said to him. So in Abraham, Moses lets us see God corrects what was done in Adam. Or puts it in the right. What was done in Adam. Through Abraham. So it says, so shall thy seed be. So seed there represents one person, then a generation. One person, then a generation. Now, why did we say that? Because Genesis 1:11. The seed is in itself, bringing forth fruit after what? His kind. So, a seed represents a person, or is a person, a son, and also represents a generation. Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You learning something? Psalm 22. One key thing about Bible study is, first of all, understand the language. If you miss the language, you miss the truth. Psalm 22. The interesting thing about that, Genesis 1:11, is that it has been used for offering. Was it the service I explained Proverbs 3:9 to you? Oh Lord, with your substance and force of your increase? Did you get it? You got it? Oh, thank you. That doesn't mean you don't give. Alright. If it's part of you, your giving is part of it. Psalm 22. Let's take verse 30 together. Let's go. A seed. Come on, let's go. A seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for what? A generation. That word, generation there, alright, is the word posterity. Continuity. So a seed serves, it's for continuity. The word seed, sorry, is the word posterity. Continuity. So from Genesis, when you hear the earth was without form and void, unlike the story some people say, I think it was Dick's annotated Bible that brought up the theory of God created the heavens and the earth, Satan came and dabaru the whole thing. You know dabaru? It's the Greek word for scatter. You just scatter the whole thing. And God said, ah! And they assumed that there was a first heaven and earth. And sometimes it's an answer to the creation story in science or the evolution theory. So you're about to give an answer to it by saying God created heaven and earth, something happened. Before then, there were the, what's this? Godzilla. Huh? Dinosaurs, you know, stuff like that. So it's trying to give an answer to science. You don't have to do all that. Okay? The truth is that that's not what Moses was talking about. Okay? Well, it says the earth was without form and void. The word tohu wabohu means was confusion or nothing. Describing the state of the audience he was talking to. And the Spirit of God hovering over it is God seeking to convince them. Because the next time you are going to read about the Spirit in Genesis 6 is that my Spirit shall no longer strive with men, for his days are 120, is flesh. And the word strive with men in Genesis chapter 6 is the word din, D-I-N in the Hebrew. It means to convince, to judge, to examine, to explore. Genesis 6 and 3. So the Spirit in Genesis 1:2 is God's redemptive work. Moses is talking about God's redemptive work or his plan for a new creation. So we can safely say the waters are the nations, which you'll see in Genesis 2 later. The waters there are the nations. The half earth is the heart of man. So let's take it. The waters are the nations. The earth is the heart of man. The spirit of God is the message of the prophets, or is explored or explained through the message of the prophets. Moses is saying, God wants to recreate this, as it were, this beleaguered, or shall I call it, this disobedient, idol-worshipping generation. So if the seed is not mango seed, that means the seed of God with which he will do his work on earth is his word. How do we know? Go back again to Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God was over the face of the waters. And Genesis 1:3. And God what? Said. God spoke to the earth that was without form and void. And the seed is in itself, bringing forth fruit after his kind. So the seed is the darkness is in the earth. And when the seed enters the earth, it produces what? Light. Does it make sense? The seed is the. Alright. And the word of God, when it says light in darkness, is salvation. Clear? Is that clear? Let me see how they're following me. Come on, let me see your hand. Let me see. I'd like to know you're following me. Is that very clear? So when Jesus in the parable of the sower says, the seed is the word of God, you read it where? You read it where? In Genesis. Is it clear? Alright, good. So, this is the beginning. This is the Genesis truth. The seed is the word. The seed is the word. We have already said that parables didn't start with Jesus. Did you see that? Who began to use parables in scripture? Moses. Psalm 78 and verse 2. We've done that study. Moses began to use parables. I open up my mouth and speak parables. Mashal. The word shida. Puzzles. From the beginning, quedem. We've seen all that in this study. And Matthew tells us in Matthew 13, 34 and 35 that the word mystery, when you say mystery, musterion. Musterion means that which requires explanation. Where is mystery? Mystery is not in what God said. Mystery is in the heart of man. So how does God undo the mystery in the heart of man? He uses parables. So parables solve the mysteries. Why is there a mystery? We saw it in Matthew 13. Because of the hardness of what? Their heart. Hardness of the heart produces mysteries in the word. And so God uses parables. What is a parable? To cross over to the other side. To use non-spiritual material to explain spiritual reality. Let me see if you understand that. Don't forget, you are not Moses' audience. You are born again. But how many of you have tried to preach or teach people who are obstinate before? Who argue? Have you ever tried to explain to people and you have to use a lot of illustrations? Who has done that before? Okay, on any subject. Like explaining that Chelsea is not the King of London. Who has ever tried to do that in an exegetical way? You know, you have to use a lot of things like alcohol. You know, on Thursday I was doing a minister's conference on Zoom or the internet. I don't know how Chelsea got into a simple explanation of scripture. It's serious. It means it's the word of the Lord. Anyway, so parables are used to convince people whose hearts are hardened. That is the reason for. Because why was Moses talking about creation? No. Moses was talking about a new creation. And many Bible teachers get Genesis 1 and 2 wrong. So they sit down with scientists and they're arguing. You say, it's 7 days. God created them 7 days. The earth is 6,000 years. Those ones will start making archaeological proofs. You say, no, I believe the word of God. You are the one that has given yourself stress. Genesis 1 and 2 is the story of the new creation. Using creation as a parable. Is it very clear? So, the seed, therefore, is the word of God. So, if God says, light be, he's talking about himself. So, let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. You learning something? Now, this parable is in three places, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. But I particularly want to pick the Luke 8, Luke's Gospel chapter 8, verse 11. How many of you have read the parable of the sower before? You should read it. I'll tell you why you should read it. Because of what Jesus said about it. Look at Mark 4. Put your hands in Luke 8 and look at Mark 4. Mark 4:13. Are you ready? Let's read it together. Come on. And he said to them, I'm waiting for you. Let's go. And he said to them, know ye not this parable? How then would you know all parables? So it's a key parable. I tell you the truth. My very first major seminar, this was, I taught the parable of the sower. It's a Bible I don't think there's any Bible I've taught like this. I've been teaching the Bible of the sower for almost 28 years. Why? Because what Jesus said. That if you get this one, you get every other thing he said. So this is the Genesis parable. This is the Genesis truth. Because I told you last week, when you use seed, seed is for beginning. A new beginning. So the seed in Genesis is the seed of God's new beginning. So go to Luke 8. Luke 8:11. Are you there? Tell there, say amen. Let's go. Now, the parable is this. Go on. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Sporos estion o logon. The seed is the word. The seed is the message. And the word logos he uses here is not just an utterance. It is a summary of activities and events. A summary of activities and events, idea, thought, and practice. A summary of activities, events, idea, thoughts, and practice. Which means that he's describing things that God does in the earth. The seed is the word. Mark 4. Mark 4. Don't forget we are looking at developing spiritually. Mark 4. So can we call, can we say that our salvation is God's sowing his seed in our hearts? Huh? What seed? His word. His word. His son. Is that correct? His word. His son. His new creation. Correct? Come on. Can we say his word sown in our hearts? What else? Is new creation. Can we also say the new heaven and earth sown in our hearts? Would that be correct? Would that be correct? Come on. Very good. So the seed has all that God will do. And he put it in our hearts. And the seed is the word. The seed is his son. The seed is his person. So in Mark 4. Mark 4. I read verse 26. So is the kingdom of God. So is the kingdom of God. So that concept. Basileia in the Greek. B-A-S-E-L-E-I-A. Referring to reign. Rulership. Reign. Where do you get that? Where do you get kingdom in scripture? We must go to Genesis. Don't forget. We have to go to Genesis. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. Is that the seed of God? Come on, is that the seed of God? Let them have what? Dominion. So, how does God have dominion in the earth? By the seed of his word. Are we there? Come on guys, are you together? Are we together here? By the seed of his word. So we're reading Genesis here. It says, the seed, the kingdom of God, is as if a man shall cast seed into the ground. it shall cast seed into the ground, and shall sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring up, or spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Spring up and grow up. Which means that God's word in our heart ought to what? Ought to what? Grow. Now, if you go back to the very first parable, it said a seed was by the wayside. Now, I need you to listen to a series I taught in 2018. When is spiritual growth? Is that the title? Where I use the parable of the sower? Was that the title? I have quite some spiritual growth series, but I think when is spiritual growth? Is that the title? Okay. So this is the continuation. So that one, I took the first parable, which is some fell by the wayside because they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. Satan came immediately. Pew. The second one fell on the glory, pastor. Preach it. Tell them. Woo! What? Took me what? See Bible. When people talk like that, they are not listening. No? Because in true Bible study, you are engaging your mind. You're thinking. The third group are the ones the word is sown in their hearts. It's right there. The first one didn't get into their hearts. The first one, the second one didn't get into their heart. The third one got inside. And we said that that one doesn't have space to grow. So you have what you call Christians who are carnal in conduct. They hear it. They know it. But the lust of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of this world shock the word. The word is there, but don't allow growth. You have some folks who have been Christians for a long time. The proof of their spiritual, of their growth in Christ is big belly. And they are not, you know, I'm very crazy. When I was in university, I was very angry. All this Bible study we used to do in those days. It's just in the statistics, in those days. You are in your 50s, you are saying in those days. Are you not in the last days? In those days, we'll go out there in chapel. We'll be speaking in tongues. Are we speaking in tongues? Or we used to. We used to speak in tongues, so you are now dumb. You know, they will go on bus evangelism. In those days, when I get up and preach like this, see conviction. Why are you not getting up again? Why are you not getting up? You have put on weight, but not spiritual weight. They are born again, but no fruit. The third, he says, those ones grow. Obviously, he picked up from there and then showed us how it grows. Do you get it? Do you understand? So, we are building on the fourth soil, which is growing. And it says, it springs up, grows, and knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, verse 28, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the air. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is what? Come. So, there cannot be spiritual development without fruit. And look at the process. He said, first, one. The first, so there are things to look out for. He says, first, the blade. Chardos in the Greek, C-H-A-R-D-O-S, is used for growing grain. Growing, and the way it is in the Greek is like a garden, just shrubs of grass. It's just starting to emerge, which means you are going to see it. But it's at its growing stage. Next week, we're going to look at the indicators. What are the things you are going to see coming up? Now, if you're an experienced pastor, I'm not an experienced pastor yet, but I have some experience. When I see people, you know, when I was a younger pastor, I'm still a young one. And somebody just gets to the church, hears the word and says, pastor, I want to join every department. It's in every service. He waits for 4 seconds, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and I say, hey, this looks like Tanigoro Banigoro. Do you know that story? A child that was born with full teeth and was talking. He's a mystery child. Oftentimes people like that just go, boom! Because he's not building the word. One time I said I was going to join all the prayer groups. I just got born again not too long. All the prayer groups. So we used to have three prayer groups in the week. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then Wednesday for everybody. I joined everything. And we're doing vigil. I said, I want to serve the Lord. He died for me. I should die too. After 2 weeks, I fell sick. I didn't attend anyone again. That's Tani Gororo believer. So you see, the growing grain, it grows. The growing grain. You see that word in Mark 4:28, what we just read. Mark 6:39, the growing grain. Mark 6:39, the grass. Matthew 6:30, just references. Matthew 13:26, Matthew 14:19, Luke 12:28, John 6:10. Now, Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians 3:12. He calls it hay. Hay. James 1:10 and James 1:11. I'm going to emphasize 1 Peter 1:24, where Peter says, man's life is like grass. So which means that stage is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. That is why you don't make such people leaders in the Christian faith. Leaders in the Christian faith. Praise God. Because you must know what you saw. If what you saw is first the blade, allow it grow. Because one of the things about spiritual growth is patience. Now, if you're a Christian leader, you must allow people grow. Patience. If you expose the grass to the work of a tree, you are going to have an ill-fated experience. The second thing he says, and this happens to a lot of people, as they are exposed to leadership very young, they may never grow again. Because they are used to, you know, being ahead of people, being over people. So they will keep covering up that insecurity all their lives. They are made pastors, they are made these ones, and they are talking, you know, this guy has no depth at all. No depth. But he's already a leader. There's one of our pastors here. I don't want to mention his name again. I always looked at him. Is it he, right? Yes. Who was made a Christian leader before getting born again. He wasn't saved. He said, Pastor, I was not born again. But they just chose me in the school fellowship and made me a leader. I know he's listening to me now. Our pastor. Not our pastor. Why do you follow my eye? Then the heir. The word heir is the word stakos. It means, and it's taken from histemi in the Greek, H-I-S-T-E-M-I, to stand. Remember, the grass, how many of you have caught grass before? Are you sure you caught grass? Me, I attended government college in Ibadan. One of the names of GCI is grass catching institution. Because as you get into the school, right, the tractors only walk around the principal's office. I took some of our folks to where they gave me, the very first portion they gave me. And normally you keep your portion till you get to senior class. So it's a portion. It's yours. Forever. So there is, and they call it grass. Come and cut grass. When I saw what they called, this is not grass. This is taller than me. This is already the air. It's taller than I am. And then you bend down. And then there's one particular senior. He probably is watching me. He will say, he's probably going to watch me, sorry. He will say, I must not see you get up until everything is down. And you keep going. So you have three cutlasses. You know the ones that you will tie something in the middle. Oh God. So you say, yeah. What's the cut guy? He says, shh. Your hand will have blisters. Showing you that you have gone through hardship. And you are coming back in glory. So it will stand out. It becomes strong. Matthew 12 and 1. Mark 2:23 for that word, Mark 4:28, the one we just read, and Luke 6:1. What stands? So these are adjectives. The shrubs, grass, then the one that is standing. And the thing about all of this is that it is patiently done. Just like God's word. I said to someone the other day, I said, you can't learn God's word this way. You are in a hurry. You are in a hurry. You have to be patient. When I'm studying the word and I'm tired and I feel like sleeping, I sleep off so that I will not read nonsense. That's how you say, Moses said to Isaac. He said, woo! And Isaac said, Judas, come here. That's cross-testamental interpretation. So you are able to, you be patient. The heir, then he says the last one, the fool con, pleris in the Greek, fool con. In Mark 14:20 and Matthew 15:37, is used for a fool basket. A full basket. Full basket. Pay attention here. Full corn. What does it mean? Remember? First the seed. Can the seed be there and there is no grass? Yeah. Mark 4. Parable of the sower. Can the seed stop growing at the grass level? Yeah. And the seed will remain there. Can the seed stop growing at the fact that it just stood? Yeah. But it's not yet full corn. So, God's kingdom is not just the fact that you are born again alone. It's the fact that the seed needs to grow and have influence. Growth refers to influence. Basileia, the kingdom. Hear what I'm about to say. God wants to walk through you and I who are his sons to rebuild, remake, and recreate the earth. And so, you know, we have these folks they call social media influencers, whatever that is. But God actually has his own sons as his own influencers. His kingdom is his influence, not when people die. No. And so, how he does it in the beginning is by the seed. Let's look at that word all over again. One, we said the word fool, pleres, P-L-E-R-E-S, an adjective for something that is full circle, or cycle. It's used for a full basket. I mentioned that in the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let me just read it. Matthew 14 and verse 20. Full basket. Matthew 15 and verse 37. They were filled and the basket was full. Mark 8:19 is the same miracle. Now look at Luke 4:1. Let's see the import of it. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Pleris. Luke 5 and 12. Full of leprosy. That means it's overwhelming for the sickness. John 1 14. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Pleris. John 6 3. Full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. Acts 6:3. Take that back, come on. Acts 6:3. Full of the Spirit. When we're going to choose deacons. Full of the Spirit. Acts 6:5. Stephen, full of faith. Acts 6:8, full of grace. Acts 6:8, full of grace. Stephen again. Acts 7:55, Stephen again, full of the Holy Ghost. So, let's see what it means to be full. If he's full of the Spirit, is he in his house dancing? If he's full of faith, is he in his room? Watching TV? No. If it's full of grace, he's doing something. His God's influence is working through him. Acts 7:55, he's full of the Holy Ghost and saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Acts 9:33, full of good works. Acts 11:24, full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:10, where Paul spoke to Elymas and Sosra, full of subtlety. Acts 19:28, when they came after Paul in anger, full of wrath. 2 John 8, full of reward. So, let's take it now. When I grow, when the word of God grows in my life, or I grow into salvation, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow in salvation. What are the things to see? Spiritual growth is not personal. You can't say you are growing, it's between you and God. What does that mean? It's between me and God, we are parties. No. Spiritual growth is not personal. Spiritual growth will always have effect on people around you. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on. Are you following this? Spiritual growth is not personal. When you see believers who are not active in the local church, they are not growing. Don't let them deceive you. Anybody who has no influence, spiritually speaking, positively among believers, or in the world through the gospel, is not growing spiritually. Not at all. So, if I am growing, I'll be full of the Holy Ghost, correct? Come on. Full of grace. Full of the Spirit. Full of faith. Full of good works. I have influence and effect on others. So, let's get back to Genesis. When he made man in his image after his likeness, and said, replenish, which is, you get replenished when you have lost strength, right? Subdue, which means there's a threat. Multiply. Those are words for prosperity or spiritual growth. Come on, let me see your hand if you're following this. Who's following this? Come on. So, how do we multiply? We multiply disciples. We multiply believers in the earth. We multiply influence by spreading the nature of God, the good works in our world. See, I'm not of this world, but I influence this world. See, I'm not of this world, but I'm God's agent, heir, and son in this world to influence the world by the Spirit of God. See, I influence the world by the Spirit of God. There's a harvest of my conduct. There's a harvest of my actions. That harvest is a good harvest. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So we influence. Spiritual growth is discernible. There cannot be inactivity and there's growth. It is not possible. You know, after I decided to just stay on my own, and my God, when I withdrew into my shell or shelf and stayed on my own, come and see how I'm growing. I don't get it. What kind of growth? That's cancerous. What kind of growth is that? I was just growing and growing. I was just enjoying the Lord. I woke up and I just be worshiping Him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. More than anything that you're crying. Jesus, you love me too much. Oh, excess love. Excess love. Brother, let's go for evangelism. Excess service. Extreme. Yala. Let's go for a prayer meeting. Extreme. Anywhere you are, God will hear, your love is patient. Very patient. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you are going, you are full. You're full. If you're growing, you are full. There cannot be growth without activity. So let's see the effect. You learning something? Mark 4. So the seed is the word, right? The new creation. God's walk in the earth. God's plan of salvation. Come on. The seed is the word. The seed is the word. Gifts of the Spirit, they're all in the seed, right? Good conduct, all in the seed. Is immorality in the seed? No, it's not in the seed. What's in the seed is Christ's life. So I will produce the Christ life. Can I have the Christ life without the Christ service? No. Can I have the Christ life without the Christ sacrifice? No. Some say, well, I love Jesus. I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my life. I want to be like Jesus in my life. Let's read about Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, there are only 3 chapters outside the ministry of Jesus. From verse chapter 4 to 20, his servant is preaching, teaching, praying, meeting needs, giving himself for all. In Mark, half of Mark 1, then the rest is serving. In Luke 1 to 2, by chapter 2, as a young boy of 12, is in the temple, learning. By chapter 4, he's already in the wilderness. He's through to chapter 24. In John, from the beginning to the end. So, which Jesus are you being like? Is Jesus of Oyibo? The Jesus you have been like, you came late for this service. Can I have an amen? Did you not come late? You came late. You are giving Bible. You say, I don't need that. It's on my phone. Call the word. Get Bible. Hallelujah. That's how the seed is growing. It's not the seed of the internet. It's not the seed of Google. It's not the seed of CNN. It's the seed of the word. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of good works. Full of grace. Mark 4. Are you in church? Let's take verse 30 together. 30 to 32. Let's go. No, 29 verse. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately put in the sickle because the harvest is come. See, I expect a harvest. Praise God. What is the harvest? More souls in God's kingdom, right? More backslidden believers restored. I won't cause any believer to stumble. Say, I won't cause any believer to stumble. I'm a positive influence with the gospel of Christ. I'll lead men to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's it. The harvest. The harvest of the Spirit. The harvest of prayer. Come on. The harvest of good works. The harvest of giving. The harvest of meeting needs. Glory to God. The harvest of healing the sick. Glory to God. The harvest of preaching and teaching the word. The harvest of our sacrifice is come. So if you are still at the seed form, it's time to get to the grass form. And move over. Move over. So that, you know, standing air, not just the blade, the one that stands. You are now standing. Nobody's bringing you to church. This morning they still lapped you to the service. Let's go to church now. Today, don't worry, I'll come next week. Don't worry. You are disappointed, are you? I'll come next week. You know, yesterday, you know, I came in very late. And I was tired. I knew I can't make it. What about second service? I'll still be sleeping. Third service, I'll still be. Fourth service, I'll be waking up. You better keep sleeping. That means you are not growing. You're not standing. They still call you for prayer group, a prayer chain. Have you prayed? He said, yes. Sa-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ogi-baba. You understand me? Sir, it was my birthday. Nobody in the church called me. Happy birthday. That's all your spiritual life. You should be calling you. Who did you call? You should be calling others. Not with my nobody. Imagine. Nobody called me on my birthday. It's an unbeliever that were calling me. You want to be an unbeliever? Nonsense and ignorance. Are you in church? Let's take verse 30 together. Come on, let's go. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Come on, go on. Or with the comparison, can we compare it? Verse 31. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. Now pay attention. The mustard seed, called the sinapi, S-I-N-A-P-I in the Greek, for the Hebrew, the Aramaic, is almost something you won't see. So when you are born again, people won't first of all see, I haven't even got born again, and you go to home and you say, great change since I was, when they were looking at you. He's a jangle. Because like a mustard seed. The only people who are going to have faith in your salvation are those people who preach to you. He's also joining them. They don't think that anything has changed. More so, your haircut is your haircut. You were worshiping mercy. You are still worshiping mercy. Not the mercy of God. Sorry. So it's like a seed. You won't see anything. You won't see it. Just like Jesus, he was just one man. Then 12. Hallelujah. Then 70. Then 3,000. Now billions all over the world. Hallelujah. That's how it goes. Glory to God. See, I'm a man of influence. In this world, the gospel finds expression through my life. Will multiply, subdue, replenish the earth in the name of Jesus. So look at the effect of it. It grows. Say, I grow. He says, it's sown. It grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs. What happens? And shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may come and lodge under the shadow of it. Every believer, every true Christian must aspire to be an example to others. Must aspire to be a tree that others come under. How can you be a Christian? You have no desire to be a cell leader. You have no desire for your house to be used to be to teach the gospel. You have no desire. How? How are you a Christian? Don't say, I don't want to pastor. I don't want to be a pastor at all. Pastor, people will not be disturbing me. Someone told me, say, pastor, I don't envy you. She came to me for counsel. I was praying with her. I said, I can never marry a pastor. I said, why? Is this how they'll be disturbing my husband? She said it to me. I said, I don't understand. You came to me. She said, I know. No. My husband. My wife, no. How can you? No desire. That is why on a Sunday morning, you say you have an appointment. Where? With somebody. Sunday morning, no, the only day that the unbeliever even gave you to worship your God. Not Tuesday, not Wednesday. You know why you're like that? Because you don't see yourself being a tree for others to come under. So you give excuses every now and then. In fact, if you see your name in the book of life, it's excusitis. They have written your name like that. Excusitis, brother, so and so. That guy is always an excuse. Some people like, there was someone like that. I said, come. It was earlier on in Saints Commission when we first started church. I said, I'm going to scroll your text for the past 6 months. So I said, I typed search. So I just typed, sorry, sir. And we saw so many texts. Sorry, sir. I will be late. Sorry, sir. I won't come. Sorry. I said, see your reply. Sorry, sir. Imagine if the body of Christ was to depend on you. We'll all just be sorry. Hallelujah. You cannot be a Christian with no ambition to grow. To grow means that you become influential. People are in this service because of you. People are going to pray because of you. People are going to study the scriptures because of you. People look at you and want to be like you. Why? Because the world is growing. The world is growing. It's not enough for you. The world is growing. Say why? Because pastor is on television. The world is growing. Why is the world growing? Because we have books in circulation. That is not the world growing. The world growing is when it grows in your life. When I see you pray for others, you wake up at night and you are that tree. We'll look at that next week. Where all the people are coming under. They know that, oh, Brother James is praying for me. Brother James, he has become that tree. He has grown from a mustard seed. He has grown to be a tree now. When there's a brother who is not fervent anymore, we know you are going to go after him and ensure his fervent. That's growth. People are misbehaving in the world. And on the social media, they talk to people anyhow. They say, I don't care. We know you are not like that. Because you know your walk in the earth. Your walk in the earth is the kingdom of God. People are mannerless. You are not like that. You are after the order of Jesus Christ. He's a seed in your heart. Hallelujah. Growing and having influence. Subduing in the nations. Glory to God. By sacrifice, self-control, the leading of the Spirit, and the power of God. Shall I give myself to develop spiritually in the name of Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.